Well, hello, folks. Before we start today's episode, this week, I want to encourage you to sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter, and we will send you lesson one of Financial Peace University for free. This lesson will kickstart your plan to save more this year. Go to stewardship.com and sign up for our newsletter to get this download absolutely free.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I'm your host, Chris Brown. This is a show that, man, we're hoping, we are praying that we're bringing encouragement to your ears, we're bringing hope to your heart, and we're bringing information to your mind. We're praying that this show ministers to you in a special way. The number is 866-357-3283. Call in with your questions. Call in with your testimonies, with your comments. This is a show where we talk about your life and we talk about your money. The free call is 866-357-3283. 3283. And of course, you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I've got to ask you, you ever been lost before? You didn't know where to go next, and then somebody just came up and helped you with a map, or came up and helped you with GPS. And that's exactly what our newsletter can do for you. Now, this week at stewardship.com, we're giving you the first audio lesson of Financial Peace University for free when you sign up for our newsletter. So I want to encourage you to do that. You'll receive weekly tips and weekly articles that will encourage you and also give you some very practical advice on your next step. We're so glad that you're listening in. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and where we talk about managing God's blessings, God's way for His glory. This is a call-in show. The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. As you call in, I want to share with you a tweet. Somebody tweeted me today and asked me what my thoughts were on this. It's actually an article from MarketWatch. Brandon Grange sent it in to me. And this article on MarketWatch is suggesting that possibly some folks would be not paying off their student loans as fast as possible in hopes that the government will forgive student loans. And asked me what my thoughts were on that. There's a lot more to the article, but that's kind of the gist of, you know, the headline. Once I got a little bit into it, I was like, ugh, it's not really, that doesn't necessarily line up with anything that I agree with. And here's the deal. When we have loans and we have debt, we need to not be guilty about it and feel horrible about ourselves. It's not a condemning thing, but we need to have personal responsibility. We need to take care of the debt ourselves. And it's not the taxpayer's job to pay for our debts. So I didn't really like that. There is a land in between, and maybe there could be some relief when it comes to future interest rates or the cost of school, those kind of things. I would like to see that. But as far as debt that we've already agreed to and taken out, the best way to fix borrowing behavior is to viscerally feel what it feels like to have to get out of debt. That'll change the behavior. If it's forgiven every time, well, then you know this with those of you that have children. If they can't feel a little bit of healthy pain, they're going to keep touching the stove. And so I'm not in big favor of that. So that just came on MarketWatch the other day. Well, first on the line from Tulsa, Oklahoma, we have Lorraine. Lorraine, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Okay. Well, my question is, should we tithe? You know, Dave Ramsey never talks about tithing on the gross or the net. And my grandfather always taught me to tithe on the gross. Mm-hmm. So I just called to see. I have two questions. That's the first one. What do you think? You know, should we be tithing on the gross or the net?
Yeah, I think you got to ask yourself, which one do you want to tithe off of? And which one do you want to be blessed? We got to remember that tithing is for us, not something that God wants from us. So you got to ask yourself, how much do I want to be blessed, off the gross or off the net? I think another way to look at this too, and of course you can get 10 theologians in the room, and five would go one way and five would go the other way. As far as I'm concerned, I think you got to ask yourself, okay, so you're going to get gross and then taxes are going to come out. And where do we put God in priority? Does God come before taxes or after taxes? Mm-hmm. And I think both are important, but I think God gets first fruits. And so I'm going to lean towards gross because of that reason. And secondly, because I know it's for me, not something God wants from me. So I want to get to heaven and he's looking me in the eyes and say, I don't want to be wrong on that one. I want him to be go, yeah, if it's not worth it to me, the difference. I'd much rather be in 100% obedience. And it's not a legalism thing, but I want to be 100% under the umbrella of protection, not out of fear, but I just want to walk as closely with him as possible. And so for me personally, in my household, we go above and beyond gross anyway. So I haven't really thought about this particular topic very long, but I'm all about the gross.
Yeah, well, that's what my grandfather taught me, that you don't earn the net, you earn the gross, and you pay taxes on the gross. So it's the gross.
Yes, exactly. If government's getting a percentage of gross, then I think God should too.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, and my second question is, how about tithing in retirement? You know, on your Social Security that you've already hopefully tithed and taxed on.
Yeah, again, not a legalism thing, but I'd tithe on anything that hasn't been tithed on yet. So that would be interest earned. That'd be any contributions that were taken out before tithing, when they were originally contributed. And the only caveat to that is unless you've been tithing off gross your whole life, then you're just going to tithe off the interest in retirement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
because
great.
Yeah, it's already been tithed on. So again, for listeners listening in, this is not a legalism thing. We go to the scriptures and it says to give cheerfully, you know, and so I wouldn't want anyone out there to be tithing grudgingly. I want you to tithe, but I don't want you to tithe until your heart's ready to do it. Lorraine, that's a good question. I appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Got an email here from Anonymous. That's a cool name. Anonymous. That's awesome. Chris, thanks to the principles taught by you and Dave Ramsey, I rang in the new year with baby step number 3 completed, and step 4 is now in place. Here's my question. Should I stop and save for 15 months to replace my 16-year-old car, which is still mechanically sound, or split the money between a car replacement fund and a mortgage principal reduction, meaning pay an extra on our mortgage? I have about $640 a month to fund either one or both. Your advice would be appreciated. Well, I would keep baby step 4 going, and I'd put this split between car replacement and mortgage principal reduction, heavier on the car replacement fund to begin with, until you have enough for a safe, reliable replacement car, safe and reliable. So whatever that is for you, maybe a grand or two, whatever that is. And then as time goes on, it needs to progressively start tilting the scale towards the house as you get beyond that. So eventually getting that scale to mostly mortgage principal reduction. So at the beginning, you want to make sure you got to take care of that car, make sure that you've got transportation to be able to bring in some income. So maybe in the beginning, you're going to do, let's say, $400 towards the car and $240 towards the house. And then towards the end, it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be $400 towards the house and $240 towards the car. I will say this, though. I don't know if you're paying money for this mortgage principal reduction, but you don't have to pay a fee for that. Do it yourself. An extra payment every year doesn't cost you a dime. So if you're paying a nominal fee for you to be on some kind of program to force you to do your mortgage principal reduction, don't do that. You can do it on your own. Good question. Next on the line, we have Paul calling in from Oceanside, California. Paul, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Hi, I just got a quick question about refinancing a mortgage. Just to give you a little bit of background, my wife and I are in baby step 2, paying off our debts, and this opportunity came up to refinance our mortgage. We're at a pretty good percentage rate, but this might save us 0.5%, and we're considering doing it just to save. It'll lower our payments by about $100 a month, and then we'll save 2 month payments and get the escrow back. So it's about $7,000 you might get, but on the flip side, the principal will be added to by about $10,000 from. I'm in the military, so a VA changeover of mortgage and stuff like that. So I'm just kind of wondering if this is a good idea to help us with our budget monthly, have that $7,000, put it right towards debt. I know we're going to tack it on the back end, so it's kind of like borrowing from ourselves, but I don't know if that's a good option or not.
Yeah. Where did you say the $7,000 was coming from?
So the two payments that we won't be making and then the money from escrow.
Oh, okay.
That we'll be getting back.
Gotcha. Well, you know, one thing just to clarify for all of our listeners, we never refi for lower payments. We only refi for lower interest. Now, both of these are happening in your scenario, but I just want to make sure that's clear to everybody. We don't refi for lower payments. That's where you get into trouble. You go from a 30-year to a 40-year, or go from a 15 to a 30 just so you can have lower payments. We want to stay away from that. So the only way we'd be contemplating this is because of the interest rate going down 0.5%. What is your current interest rate?
3.7.
Okay, and what's the value of the home?
It's probably about 425.
Okay, and how much do you owe?
387.
Okay, and how many years are you into the amortization schedule?
We've been paying on it for approximately almost 4 years.
Okay, and is it a 15-year or a 30?
30.
And this new product that you're going to be getting, is it a 15-year or a 30?
30.
So the way you figure this out is what's called a break-even analysis. So this is going to, it's really going to cost you 10 grand because the 7 grand that you're not having to pay is still owed. It's just delayed.
Right.
So at $100 a month, you'd have to live in this house for quite some time, right? Let's say it's take $10,000. Pretty easy math, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be in it for 100 months? Do you think?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm in the military. I have another 3 years before I retire, and I'm not sure I'm going to stay here or leave.
Yeah. For me, the research shows that most people don't stay in the house for that long. It'd be a total of over 7 years. Let's see, 36 months. So you're looking at, you're looking at post, that's more than 10 years total in the house, and research shows that most people don't do that. So that'd be one thing going against you. Plus, you're in the military, which is a little bit shifty as far as geographic location of your residence, that. And then I typically wouldn't do a refi for only 0.5% anyway. So most of this stuff is pointing towards a no for me.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call and thank you for your service.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. My prayer as you listen to this show is that you're getting the encouragement you need to steward your money and to steward your life. And not only can you get that encouragement through the show, but you can also get this kind of encouragement in your email. The weekly stewardship.com newsletter delivers articles, it delivers tips and a biblical advice that will equip you to be intentional in all areas of your life. We want to not just tell you, we also want to teach you how. So at stewardship.com, we try to provide answers to the questions that you're asking. Recently, I wrote an article on how to talk to your spouse about giving. Many of you call in with that question. We're talking about practical stuff here that everyone deals with. And when you sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter, you can get the Super Saving audio lesson, lesson number one, from Financial Peace University for free. This is a free audio download that you can listen to anytime, anywhere, and it'll help you get intentional with saving and preparing for the future. Visit stewardship.com to sign up for the newsletter and to get a free MP3 download of Super Savings from Financial Peace University.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right. Here I've got an email from Cassie. Remember, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Cassie says, so we missed a week tithing. Got a couple tithing questions today. We missed a week of tithing by pure accident. I'm wondering if I should just put it in the past Or should I, in quotes, repay the tithe off of my next paycheck? Thank you. Again, like I said earlier in the show, not out of legalism, but we need to remember that tithing is for us, not something God wants from us. The Bible says when we are faithful with little, we can be trusted with much. Think about your kids. Think about the way that you feel when they partially obey or when they partially have faith in you. Then think about how you feel when they overlook something or forget something, and then they come back later and fully obey or make something right because of their tender heart. How do you feel as a parent? Well, the Bible says he's our father. So because of all that, I'd tithe it, but only if I could do it cheerfully, like we're told in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Don't do it out of legalism. But yeah, I would definitely pay that tithe. Good question. All right, next, calling in from Yakima, Washington. That's fun to say. This is Cameron.
Yeah, hi.
Cameron, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
We're glad you're calling in from Yakima.
Yeah.
I had to say it again. You're used to it. You live there. You say it all the time.
Yeah.
But here in Nashville, that's a cool city.
Yeah,
Yakima.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm here to help you. You got something I can help you with?
Yeah, so I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
I have a line of credit, and when I had a cardiac arrest, I'm 26, but I had a cardiac arrest in 2013, and the line of credit was very useful. Wasn't able to work. For 6 months, we used it, and then God was good, provided everything. We paid it all off. We were out of debt, and then things kind of continued, and we still needed some more help, more than we thought. So that all being said, with the cardiac arrest and all that, I've missed 3 payments, called, made up payments, did everything I could, and now my bank, wonderful credit union that I've been with for so long, they've decided that they're going to turn me in, collections kind of thing, if I can't come up with $1,000 now and make a new plan and all these things. And so my issue, I guess, is going to come down. I watched Ramsey on basically kind of ranting about these guys and if I should let it go to collections and try to settle because they didn't honor, I should say, the insurance policy I have on my line of credit. They just kind of threw that away and said they're not going to do anything to help me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I should let it go to collections since they've not honored what I'm paying them for, or should I try to settle with them directly? They may not want to. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about this, Cameron. A cardiac arrest at 26? Or really?
I was 23 when it happened.
How did this go down?
I was playing basketball with my pastor and our intern, who's now serving in the United States Marines. And we were just playing basketball, and I went up to take a layup into the hoop, and the layup never happened. I hit a wall. And fell back. I had a seizure for about 8 minutes. And then he said that my whole body turned blue, and I was clinically dead for about 6-8 minutes. And then God mercifully brought some firemen who knew a whole lot about this stuff, and they were able to use an AED, and they got my heart restarted. You know, they put me in a coma for a week and paralyzed me and all this crazy stuff. And then God restored my marriage, and we have a son now, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
This is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, we serve an incredible God, so it's good stuff.
That is very, very cool. And how's your health now?
Yeah. I have a defibrillator in my chest.
Uh-huh.
It shocked me a couple times, kind of let me know I needed to calm down, get my heart rate back. And, other than that, yeah, it's just kind of changed your scope on to live as Christ, to die as gain, and
yes,
and what it means to really live for Jesus versus just living a life that includes Jesus.
Mm. You're encouraging a lot of folks right now, Cameron. We appreciate your testimony and everything you've been through.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade it. It's good stuff. And I get to use it with my students, and I teach driver's ed, which is high stress. So yeah. I get to tell them, you know, you need Jesus to take the wheel of your life, and
oh, wow,
and we have fun with it. So Yeah, it's a good testimony. It's fun.
That's awesome.
Well, so right now, I made every payment, even with the cardiac arrest, and I was off work, and the Lord provided, and so we just kept paying it, and everything was good. I paid off a car loan. Everything was good. But the minute that things were tight and I missed a payment, they started sending me to internal collections and all this stuff. And then, and I've still tried to make payments, and they've just been relentlessly just mean people.
Yeah. What's your current income?
Right around $2,400, $2,600 probably. And my wife makes about $1,800, $1,700 a month or so.
So what would be your goal to pay it off if they let you pay it off, regardless of when to collections or not? 12 months to 18 months?
If I could, that would be, closer to 6 to 8 months would be really, really, really good and a stress reliever.
Well, if you think that's possible, listen, regardless of whether it's 2 years or whether it's 6 months, I whether it goes to collections or not, that's not your biggest concern. Your biggest concern is to make sure you have proactive communication with them. That's number one. What are my options? Whether they're good options or not, you know those. And it sounds like you've already done that part. If you feel like some of it's unfair, which it sounds like it is, it sounds like they're not addressing your insurance and they're not taking into your very significant scenario that would relieve you from any kind of default in most small print in any loan of any kind of any type. So they're not for those two reasons, I would fight it. Now, I'd fight it, obviously, again, I've said this before on the air several times, but a soft answer turns away wrath. When you're mad that your pizza's cold and you call the pizza company angry and upset, you're not going to get very good results. But if you call and say with a very kind demeanor, and you're going to get a nice fresh pizza. And so I really just do it well and do it with knowing that the Lord's right there watching your attitude and watching all that, like the demeanor you've had on this phone call. Then you're going to get somewhere. But regardless, let's say none of it works. Just pay it the best you can. And if it goes to collections, it goes to collections. Here's the deal. There's one thing I teach on this show, that do not feel like you're enslaved to a credit score. I have a credit score of nearly zero on purpose. You don't want credit. You're not going to be operating in debt anymore. So your credit score is just an I love debt score is all that means. So don't freak out about the collections thing. You know darn well that you're doing the best that you can. And you have a spiritual responsibility, not a credit score responsibility. And your spiritual responsibility says it is better to not make a vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Ecclesiastes 5:5. You know that you're going to do the best you can. You know the Bible says let your yea be yea and your no be no. And you know that your reputation is important. Proverbs 22:1 says a good name or reputation is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And so just do the best you can. Pay this thing off. If it goes to collections, it goes to collections. But I just tell them, hey, listen, I really am doing the best I can. I died and came back to life. You're like, this is a big deal. And if you guys don't like that, you don't understand that, then I don't know what to tell you. But I'm doing the best I can. And just know that you're doing fine spiritually. But don't let that collections thing put a burden on you that doesn't belong there. Your responsibility is to Christ. And you're obviously giving him the glory for everything that's happened in your life. And so I know you're walking in his favor.
Yeah. Good word. Good word. I appreciate that.
Cameron, we appreciate the call. And we're thankful for what God's done in your life. And I would ask you to please call us back in a couple months when there's a development, because we'd love to know how things are going.
Yeah, awesome. I will do for sure.
All right. Thank you, Cameron. Well, that was cool. It's not very often that you hear a 26-year-old speak with that much maturity. And it's not ironic that a near-death experience caused it. You know, many of us are walking around and we're entitled to this life. We're not grateful for this life. And Cameron was forced into a place where he needed to be very, very grateful. Not that he was entitled before, but man, are we walking around grateful like we heard in Cameron's voice? Thankful to be alive? Thankful to be entrusted by God? I wonder if we can improve in that. Remember, as I mentioned earlier, if you're looking for a weekly encouragement in your email inbox, sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter today. And when you do, you know us. We're going to give you something free. You'll receive the first audio lesson of Financial Peace University, again, for free. I want to thank you for your calls today. Thank you for your emails. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.